I've titled this message, is really an exhortation that Jesus is still king today. Because it was his triumphal entrance of a king, if you like, into Jerusalem. And so if we can go to Matthew chapter 21, I'll read, it's extensive, but we'll read from verse 1 to 16. It says there, now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? Amen. Now, this account of the triumphal entry is one of the very few accounts you find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Most accounts will be in, especially Matthew, Mark, and Luke will contain elements of it, but not in John. This one and the miracle of the multiplication of the 5 loaves and 2 fish when he fed, 6,000, is one of the very few accounts you find in all the Gospels. So it's really important. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, it actually happened. Yeah, this happened. They saw it. It happened. Amen. Every account of the Gospel captures it. Now, there are slight variations. For instance, in Mark, and I think Luke, it doesn't talk about the donkey and the baby, kind of the smaller one. It just talks about a donkey. And I don't know about you and donkeys, but when I was growing up in Moya, donkeys were big, brute things. We were warned around donkeys. That thing throws a kick. It had a powerful kick. It was a big animal. Those are the donkeys I knew all my life. Until some time back, I went to Lamu. And I had been told that in Lamu, there is only one street and there are no cars. There was only one Land Rover belonging to the district commissioner. And I thought, these are fairy things. People tell stories. But when I arrived in Lamu, I was surprised. It was exactly what people had been saying. I was like, how can there be a town with only one street? It wasn't even a street. It was just along the seashore. That was the space, you know? So all the hotels were along the beach. If you wanted to go anywhere, that was it. If you wanted to go away from the beach, the pathways were like what is aisles between these seats. Very small. There's no way you could drive there. So what happened on those pathways, there were donkeys. But now, to my surprise, they were small, tiny, very lovely animals. You could even kind of touch its ears. Yeah. They were not the donkeys, I thought they were. These ones were small. You could just, you know, you didn't struggle to climb on one, you know. And the streets are narrow. And you look around, somebody dashes with one. You look around, another dashes this way. I thought, they are so lovely, donkeys. But before that, my idea of donkeys was this brute, you know. We were using them for ferrying cargo. And so it was. So I'm not sure what kind of a donkey we are talking about here. That's my point. But this one was not kicking around Jesus, you know. And the years, not so many years, some time ago, maybe a year or two ago, the Lord told me, I don't tie resources. I don't tie down resources. I don't tie you up. God, Pastor Davis has mentioned this in the tithes and offering message, God does not hoard resources. And so this donkey was needed for ministry. Praise God. And so sometimes when I wake up, I say, praise the Lord. The Lord is in need of me. I am not held back by anything. I'm just a donkey. I'm available. Jesus, you want to go somewhere? Let's go. Praise God. I'm available. I am not tied down by anything. I receive liberty to do for the day what God wants me to do. Praise the Lord. So I identify myself as a resource for the kingdom of God. Amen. So every day you wake up, you can say, hallelujah, Lord, you need a donkey. I'm here, I'll call you. You need a donkey to my workplace? You go with me. Praise God. You have this presence of God around you, and that you are available for whatever God wants you to do. And this idea of loosing and binding, because many times, let's look at Matthew 16, verse 19, I believe. Matthew 16, 19 says, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So you and me, part of what God has given to us in our redemption is the power to bind and the power to loose. Amen. And you have to have that revelation. It's actually about revelation of how the kingdom of God works. Amen. So wherever God sends you, wherever God is sending me, I try to imagine these disciples, when they were going there, they might have looked at each other and said, I mean, did you really get the real address? Do you know? He said, you go, you reach there, you'll see a donkey. And you don't know maybe the owner of this thing. And how are you? You have to put a lot of faith in what Jesus has told you. And they knew that the power to loose and the power to bind was available with Jesus. And it was available with Jesus, but now it's been given to them. Praise the Lord. Say, I have the power to bind and to loose on behalf of Jesus. Notice they were not losing the donkey so they can start racing around with that donkey. They were losing it for the purposes of the kingdom of God. They were losing it for the purposes of God. So when we are walking and carrying out anything, any assignment of God, we must bear that in mind. This power to loose and to bind is working because we are on a mission. Hallelujah. And another interesting scripture, I want you to look at John chapter 11, verse 44. And he had, this is talking about Lazarus. Lazarus had died, and Jesus had gone and raised him up. And says here, and he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, let's say together, loose him and let him go. Praise the Lord. Loose him and let him go. Oh, praise God. Oh, you need to wake up every day saying, whatever has been binding me is going to have to loose me and let me go. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You are a free person. They say, he was raised from the dead, all right? But he was still bound. You can be saved, you're still bound. You can have one deliverance on one side, but on the other side, you're still what? Struggling. What do you need to do? You go to the Bible elsewhere, says, shake yourself loose, captive daughter of Zion. There are certain things. Where does this issue come from? It comes from traditions. It comes from patterns of life. It comes from the devil could not keep Lazarus dead. But now that he is alive, they still needed to do what? To loose him and let him go. Why? Because there was a purpose for his resurrection. There was a purpose for his rising from the dead. Say, there is a purpose for my life. And I am getting loosed from everything that would hold me back from accomplishing God's purposes for my life. That donkey was not dead. It was very much alive. But it was tied. It was tied. It was moving around, doing nothing in that compound. Jesus said, go loose that thing. Praise the Lord. Have you been tied going ho-hee? You look alive. You run around the compound, but you're supposed to be in the city. You're supposed to be in a ship. And here you are tied up in a kiosk. That kiosk got to let you go, mama. That kiosk has to let you go, brother. Praise the Lord. There are higher purposes for you. Glory to God. There, don't let them just bring water to you and some glass and your leg is tight. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Aloha. What does that say? Loose him and let him go. I say that over you. You are loosed. Now you go in the name of Jesus. The devil really tries to tie us down. Very small things can tie you down. You can get tied down to a phone. You scroll all the day. You are a donkey. You are tied down to TikTok. You got to let loose. Praise God. You go somewhere. You are tied down. You are somebody. What are you doing? What are they saying? Well, I'm trying to get the word. Tunakula njalo. What do you mean unakula njalo? Let him loose. Praise the Lord. See, there are higher purposes. For my life, I'm getting loosed. It can even look, I don't know, the owner of this donkey, I don't know, it can even look like a safety issue. He tied it there so that it is safe. But it's the purpose of God was not the safety of this donkey, was to go and serve Jesus. So whatever has tied you not to serve Jesus, from today you are free in the name of Jesus. From today you say, I am free to serve the living God. Praise the Lord. So this donkey had to get, Luke, I told you, let's go to Luke 19:32, because this is the other account of, it starts from verse 18, very similar. But it says, so those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said it to them. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's read that together. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said it to them. Praise the Lord. Say this with me now. So I am sent on my way by Jesus, and I'll find it just as Jesus has said it to me. You got to personalize that way. You got to know if Jesus has sent you somewhere, you'll find it exactly the way he said it. If Jesus said, by his stripes you are healed, what will you find? You are healed. If Jesus said, give and it shall be given unto you, what should you be expecting? You should be expecting it to be exactly what
Jesus said. You got to do that. That's the word of God. I believe that what Jesus has said is exactly what I am going to find. It's an issue of faith. There is something called a gap. In performance management, in strategy, they say there is a big difference, there is a gap between knowledge and what people do. People may be taught a lot of things, but are they actually doing it? So if you go to an organization to look at their strategy or whatever, you look at what they have been saying is their vision, mission, whatever, and what they're actually doing, is it? Because in many cases, there's a gap. In the spirit realm, there's a gap. There's a gap between what people say they believe and what is actually happening. That is a gap of faith. And we fill that gap by renewing our mind to what the Word of God says and acting on the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Acting on the Word of God. Let's look at 1 Peter. I've shared this scripture with you before. 1 Peter 1:18 says, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your what? From your what? Aimless conduct. Aimless, purposeless, filling time. You and me should never be at a point where we say, I'm just filling time. I'm just mark timing. In the National Youth Service, you could run into an afandi, and they stop you, and they start marking time here. You know mark time? And you are shouting. You are supposed to be shouting left, right, left, right, left, right, or one, two, and you're just doing this. And then the guy tells you, you're looking this way. He tells you, start mark timing right now. Don't move. You stay right there. Then he walks away. Then you're just there. Left, right, left, right. Another one comes saying, excuse me, you are a little foolish. What are you doing here? You see? You shut up. You say, Afande told me to, which Afande? Where is he? Show me where the Afande is. You look around, the other fellow disappeared. You are left there marking time like a fool. And they would mock you and say, you are going to university. You need to grow up. Get out of here, you. And you run around. And I was thinking, that is what they call marking time. Mark time. You're just pending, waiting for the next instruction. And the guy who was supposed to give the instructions disappeared. If you are not careful, the devil will do that to you. Just keep you marking time, marking time, marking time. You say, no way, I'm a donkey with a purpose. That donkey left Mama Donkey. Praise God. Said, Mama, you know what? I have a higher calling. I'm going to carry the King. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. In Judges chapter 6, verse 34, I shared this with you last week. It says, but the Spirit of the Lord, this is in the Amplified Classic, clothed Gideon with himself and took possession of him. And he blew a trumpet, and the clan of Abiezer was gathered to him. The Holy Spirit, when he comes upon you and you have this call of God on your life, let me ask you, those multitudes, did they see Jesus or the donkey? Now, they saw both, but who did they really see? It's Jesus, isn't it? Do you know that is really, let me use it, I'm not calling you a donkey, but that is how we are to manifest. I find, and I mentioned this last week, but I find it fascinating because in many cases, if you ask me, do I see myself filled with the Holy Spirit and God in me? I can see that. Can I see the Holy Spirit over me? Yes. But I'm still the center. This is now Jesus is wearing me. Do you see that? This is now Jesus wearing. The Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with himself and took possession of him. When they went to lose that donkey, were they to take possession of it? From that moment, that donkey was under their direction. And that is how our lives ought to be. That I can say, Holy Spirit, now clothe yourself with me. I told you, and that everywhere I go today, you are with me. The Lord showed me this a couple of weeks ago in a very amazing way, because there was a meeting that was going to happen. I called this person. They said, we are going to have a meeting. We'll review this and this and this. And in my heart, it's like, I want to be in that meeting. I want to go and hear, because I can present my case, you know? And then in my heart, the Lord spoke to me, said, the Holy Spirit said, don't worry, I will be in the meeting for you. Oh, my goodness. That you can go to sleep and wake up saying, you know what? They have a stranger in that room. They have no idea who it is. But there is God has gone ahead of me and is going into that meeting. Praise the Lord. Now, this past week, I was now called into a meeting where the same gentleman, I think, were meeting. And it was a very fascinating discussion, because when we finished talking, this man looked at me. He's the one I told you was talking about Holy Thursday. So he's a father. He's Reverend Father XYZ. He looked at me. He said, I think you are one of us. I said, what one of you? How? Which way? Seeing you are like a preacher. I thought, wow, dear Lord. We were not talking anything Bible or anything to do with. But here, this man, I said, no wonder the Lord told me I will be there. He is the Holy Spirit. And if I carry him, you're talking about connections. I think it's when you are preparing for this, and Deacon Yvonne was praying about connections. God connection. God's ability. This Holy Spirit person is real. Is real. If we can only trust him, he will do the job. Jesus said, is the Father in me? He does the work. But we have to use our faith. That everywhere we go, we know we carry someone. We carry the Lord Jesus Christ. We carry the presence of the Lord. We carry. So you are not intimidated by any situation. You are not overcome by any situation. They can call you for a meeting tomorrow and you show up. You show up, you say, I'm just a donkey. I'm just a donkey. What you cannot see here is an invisible person. And they are going to get everything sorted out. Hallelujah. You show up with confidence. You show up with the glory of God over you. A discerning person will see it. A person who is not discerning will not see it. But it doesn't matter. You know, it didn't matter what you thought about that donkey. I mean, the donkey was just hobbled around. I asked myself, this donkey, where did it learn to carry people? It is a donkey that nobody had ever ridden. Do you know that is dangerous? Because it becomes an unpredictable animal. Nobody has trained it. It can kick. What if it jumped and Jesus, boom, Jesus is down. We need a trained donkey for Jesus. No, the Jesus made the donkey. So it cannot throw him off board. What am I talking about here? Listen, I have said this several times. Don't underrate the power of God in you. Don't underrate what you can produce for the kingdom of God. You are a donkey. Okay, it's not a curse word. Don't go there if somebody says, you are just a donkey. You probably fight back. But I'm telling you, when you come under the anointing and the power of God, you serve God. You serve God. Beautifully. You serve God. Those people who are jumping and shouting and the multitude is there. The donkey is almost invisible, but Jesus needs to be carried by somebody in your workplace. Jesus needs to be carried by somebody at your home. Jesus needs to be carried by somebody in this nation. Jesus needs to be carried by somebody in the matatu. You got to be the donkey. You got to be willing and saying, I want to carry the Lord Jesus. Hey, students, somebody has to carry Jesus to class. Somebody has to carry Jesus to the parade. Somebody has to carry Jesus in all the work that is going around, in the dormitory, wherever. We carry the Lord Jesus. We let him ride over our lives and override everything of the devil. That's why the devil will do everything to tie you and me down. But today we are being set free. Today we are being set free. Can I say like some folks, nyota yako, you know, you need to just shine. But it is the glory of God. Amen. It's not some mysterious thing out there. It is the glory of God raising you up. Amen. There was nothing. We are not given the qualifications of this donkey. Did this donkey sit for KCSE? Where did it sit for KSE? Where did it go to the university? Let the Lord train you. Are those things necessary? Yes. But you can go further ahead than anybody else with the same stuff because you have said yes to the call of God on your life. And to say, I am yielding to the Lord to lead me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And let me see. Oh, glory, glory, glory. So I am walking us through this. If you go to Jerusalem, they tell you, I don't know whether Pastor Davis went through what they call the what? The walk of the cross. If you are familiar with the Catholic approach, they go everywhere Jesus went. You know, it's a ceremonious big thing, and they do this and this. Anyway, but it's a way of walking the path that they say Jesus walked. But we walk these things in the spirit of faith. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lowly and meek. Then it says what? Here comes your king, lowly, riding on a donkey. Can we have that scripture there? Let's go to Matthew 5:5 in the Amplified, yeah? Matthew 5:5 says, blessed, happy, blithesome, joyous, spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the meek, the mild, patient, long-suffering, for they shall inherit the earth. Amen. I want us to go to chapter 21. I don't know whether I've marked it on my notes here. Chapter 21, where it talks about, here comes your king, he's riding on a donkey. Is it verse 5? Yeah, let's read verse 5. It says, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you. Let's read it together. Lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now, Jesus, this word lowly means meek, mild. All right? Dr. Jerry Savelle says it's one of those things we really don't dwell on, because have you ever heard of a meek seminar? Come here, all you guys, we learn to be meek. That doesn't sound victorious. We want conquering things. We want, you know, there's something about even the gifts of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, you know. But meek sounds weak, you know. But meek is not weak. Tell your neighbor that. Meek is not weak. Meek literally means power under perfect control. Power under perfect control. That's being lowly. That's being meek. That's being mild. Jesus riding on this donkey was manifestation of power under perfect control. And we know that because the next thing we read, he gets to that temple, and what happens? He drives out the traders. He drives out, kicks the tables of money changers. Now, if you are like me, mild, meek, lowly, and then driving guys out, there's something there that doesn't seem to quite add up, isn't it? But again, this is where we got to be extremely careful, because we tend to take some religious positions and we don't see the whole picture. That Jesus was meek and lowly, but it was really, he wasn't frustrated. I don't believe he was mad and yelling. He wasn't cursing them.
But he was proving a point. My house shall be called what? A house of prayer. You guys have turned it into what? A den of thieves. Can you imagine outside here, people are praising, they are shouting, they are celebrating the king. Inside here, ni karata. What is it, karata? Pata potea. People, I mean, really? What's that? Not what it is, but that is what they were doing. They are like gabbering. What were they doing inside there? Selling and buying. What were they buying? You come with your sacrifice of a lamb. They look at it. They find fault in it. They tell you, yako masikio hasifanani or whatever. They look for something. I'm just kidding. They look for something to disqualify yours so they can sell you theirs. They said, this is the perfect animal. You are that one, we will not accept. You buy this one. This one is 10 times more expensive. So they were buying and selling in the temple. And so you can understand Jesus, when he walked in there, man, he drove them out. Meek, yeah, and drove them out. Money changers, yeah. And meek, yes, and he kicked them out. Praise the Lord. We have to have that discerning, isn't it? That God... I told you about sanctification. God wants us living pure life. He doesn't want us mixed up with the world and its way of doing things. And it's not an excuse to say, I am mild, I don't challenge anything. No, you challenge the devil. Hallelujah. Oh, are you listening to me? You are mild and meek, but you'll challenge the devil every time you see him. Amen. Everywhere you go, the devil should be running away from you. It doesn't matter what is the accepted norm around that area. When you show up and the things of God are not being done the way they are being done, there ought to be something in you that causes you to rise up and say no. Praise the Lord. That is the power of a believer. So Jesus lowly went there and drove them out. Let's look at, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 8, 19 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are, let's read it together, for you are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, you read that for your neighbor because you're saying you. Now, read it for yourself. Say, let's go to verse 19. For I know that my body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in me, who I have received from God. I am not my own. Right? For I have been bought at a price. Therefore, I glorify God in my body and in my spirit, which are God's. Amen. Hallelujah. So, anything that is not glorifying God in your life, you deal with it. Amen. You deal with it. You are either praising and praying, because it says they were praising outside there, isn't it? And then inside they were supposed to be praying. So you are either praising and praying, or you are what? Trading and stealing. That's what they were doing. Instead of praising and praying, they were involved in what? Trading and stealing. And Jesus said, this has to stop. This has to stop. So as believers, even as we look today at this triumphal entry, we need to examine our lives, that we don't have compromises. This goes deep, and you can look at it in multiple ways. But I have to come before God and say, Lord, is there something in my life today that is not glorifying you? Is there a lie that I believed? Is there some religious things that I'm just following? Lord, I want my life purified. I want my life to be a house of prayer. Do you know prayer, are you listening to me? Prayer is not contentious. Prayer is not religious. Prayer is the power of God.
Somehow, believers, we get into a topic and create controversy.
I don't know for what.
But I'm telling you, prayer from the Bible, Genesis, all the way to Revelation, over and over, the power of prayer is so important. Prayer, what Pastor Davis also said, you see, prayer is not presenting a list of demands and requirements to God. It's also the fellowship. It's also the worship. Amen. Prayer is fellowship with God. I know somebody said, how long? You see, people create traditions. They say, you must pray for 1 hour. Well, Jesus did say that. He said, why can't you watch with me for 1 hour? So it's there, it's in the Bible. But you can't make a tradition out of it. Then you bind the people around it. All right? I'm told of a man of God who was asked, how long do you pray? And he said, I don't pray for more than 1 hour. I rarely pray for more than 1 hour. But then I never go without prayer for more than 1 hour. You understand? Actually, it's a man of God called Smith Wigglesworth. And he said, if you've not prayed, if you've not heard from God for 15 minutes, you need to repent. You need restoration. You are backslidden. Can you imagine that? You need rest. What have you been doing for 15 minutes? And you've not heard from God. Unless you are asleep. If you are alive, not alive, you are awake and moving around, then who are you following? Because everywhere that donkey went, Jesus was there. Everywhere Jesus went, the donkey is with him. Our lives are supposed to be bound to the Lord. And so the idea of prayer is something that we got to take a lot more seriously. Private prayer, corporate prayer. Primarily what has happened also is that we've turned a lot to corporate prayer in some circles and there's no personal prayer. But you cannot have corporate prayer without personal prayer. If you have proper personal prayer, you'll flow in the corporate prayer. Praise God. So when I don't see people in corporate prayer, what that basically indicates is we are not praying in our personal lives. And we got to get to the house. I am a house of prayer. Say, I am a prayerful person. Every decision I make, I seek the face of God. I don't make decisions without prayer. Now, I'm telling you to say after me, but that is a decision you got to make. You got to decide every major decision I make in my life, I'll be seeking the Lord in prayer because you are a house of prayer. Amen. That scripture, that's what he's saying. You are a house. Jesus said, my house shall be a house of what? Prayer. So if I looked at your life, Deacon Joga, if I asked your children, is this man a man of prayer? What would they say? What would they say if we came to your house and asked the gardener or the person who helps you around you, would they say, this is a mama of prayer? Is there evidence of prayer in your life? Ask your neighbor that. Is there evidence of prayer in your life? Because you are the house of God. And you're supposed to be a house of prayer. Jesus is looking for a house of prayer. Not traders. We are good in trading. Even when you are going to sleep, you are sending trading. Your work is in your head, the things you are selling and buying and whatever. That's topmost. Buying and selling is big. Buying and selling. And it's not bad, but that is not what we were created for. We were to pray, then we know what to sell. We were to pray, then we know what to buy. That's a good one. Now tell your neighbor that. Tell them, pray, you know what to buy. Pray, you know what to sell. You see now why your buying and selling has been chaotic. You buy, you get home, you are thinking, why did I buy this? Because you are a trader. Member says, I'll still sell this to you through you. Watch a niende hasara. I will not buy that kind of a thing. That's a curse. I am a blessing. I have come to be a blessing to you, not to curse you. I don't want you to sell to me, then you go at a loss. I am a blessing. I carry the Lord Jesus everywhere I go. Is he making losses to people? Is Jesus negotiating until somebody cannot make a profit? No. So I carry an attitude of blessing, generosity everywhere where we go. So we see from the account of Matthew, we've come from the time they released that donkey, Jesus sending them to get the donkey, to the point now where he has entered the temple. But the account of Luke actually has a bit of a twist into it. And I want us to look at the account of Luke is in Luke chapter 19. And if we look at verse 42, it says, "Now as he drew, he saw the city and wept over it." This is a detail that Matthew does not capture. And then this was saying, "If you had known, even you, especially this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and cross you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." Then he went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in it. So you see, this is a very interesting detail that, so the crowd is singing, the multitude is singing, but before he got to the temple, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Let's look at it in the verse 44 in the Amplified Classic Version. "And they will dash you down to the ground, you Jerusalem, and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, all because you did not come progressively to recognize and know and understand from observation and experience the time of your visitation." Let's read that together. "That is, when God was visiting you, the time in which God showed himself gracious toward you and offered you salvation through Christ." Say, "I will not miss the day of my visitation." Isn't that amazing that these people were jumping and shouting? What they were saying, what were they saying? "Hosanna, Hosanna." What Pastor Davis read, that Psalms 118 from verse 24. Hosanna simply means save now. Save now. Save now. Save now. What he read also, "Send us prosperity." Hosanna. Save now. Save now. Save now. The king is here. We are getting saved. And they are rejoicing and they are shouting. And then Jesus weeps. Oh. Say, "I will not be in a crowd just shouting and missing God." Because Jesus was right there. And they are shouting and they are jumping and they are celebrating. And then he looked at Jerusalem and wept. He looked at Jerusalem and wept. See, these guys are missing. They have missed. They have missed the day when God showed himself gracious towards them and offered them salvation. Do you know why they were doing this? It's because as much as they celebrated him, they were looking for a political leader. They were looking for a political leader. In their hearts, this is the end of the Roman Empire. This is the end of Kenya Kwanza. I shouldn't have said that. This is the end of Azimio. This is the end of, we are celebrating. We are rejoicing today. What are you rejoicing over? Over political machinations, over political schemes of people? That's what their problem was. They were rejoicing over him, but they were so caught up with the other kingdom. There's something called Judaism. Judaism has several elements. Among some of them is a physical temple, that's where they were going. Then you had an intermediary priesthood who had to intervene on your behalf for God. Then you had a system of laws. And then you had some other
focus, which was really the kingdom they were looking for. Messiah was a political leader as far as they were concerned. So they were missing God. And God was telling them, you know this temple, beautiful as it is, it will be destroyed. But then you have to remember, he says, you, my friend, are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. So you have to have spiritual discernment. Say spiritual discernment. Spiritual understanding. Say spiritual understanding. That is what God wants us to walk into. And John also has another dimension to it. Let's go to the book of John. This is chapter 12. John chapter 12 and verse 14 to 17. Again, you see where they were missing it. Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it. So you see, it's the same account as it is written. Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Yeah. His disciples, let's read it together. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him and that they had done these things to him. See, they were there. They were right there. But they did not do what? Understand. No wonder Jesus wept. Let's go to verse 37. Oh, we had not finished this. Let's look at that, verse 17. I think that's important. Go back. Yeah. Therefore, the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of his tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. So, okay, it's important to notice this. The other accounts in the gospel do not capture this detail, that this thing was happening when Lazarus had been raised from the dead. It was like a week before. So the crowd that was coming, the multitude that was celebrating Jesus, was part of the crowd that was also celebrating the raising of Lazarus from the dead. Okay? That was the whole group of them. So now let's go to verse 37. But although he had done so many signs before them, they did not believe him. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? What is that quoting? That is quoting Isaiah 53 verse 1. Let's go there. Isaiah 53. Because they did not believe. They were dancing, they were shouting, amen. But they did not believe. I'm pointing this out as a caution, as a warning to us, that you can come to church and you can shout and you can dance, but do you believe? Do you really believe? Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Why do we have to believe the report of the Lord? Because there are many reports. There are many reports. You read in the newspaper, there are reports. You look at doctors' reports, there are reports. There is an X-ray report. There is this report. There is this other report. Whose report will you believe? We sing about it. But here we see a practical case where they were not. All right, verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Verse 4. Let's read this together. Surely. Do you see the word surely? Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Somebody shout, I believe it. That's the report. That's the report. Praise the Lord. Let's go back to verse 4. I go to this scripture more or less every day, and I read it aloud. Surely, 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 surely he has borne my griefs and carried my sorrows. He has carried it. Do you know, we associate griefs and sorrows with loss. Somebody passed on. But we also are grieved and sorrowful over so many things. We grieve and sorrow over politics. We grieve and sorrow over our workplaces. We grieve and sorrow over how somebody treated us. We grieve and sorrow over so many things. But you rise up from the bed and you say, Jesus has borne my griefs and carried my sorrows. Now your singing of Hosanna is real. Now you are saying servers is real because they were singing, but did they really believe what they were singing? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That grieves is sickness and diseases. He has borne our, said, sicknesses and diseases. Personalize it. He has borne my sicknesses and diseases and carried our sorrows. That sorrows is pains. Praise the Lord. If you have joint pain, in the name of Jesus, he has borne it. It's not yours. If you have stomach ache, it is not supposed to be there. He has carried your stomach ache. He has carried your headache. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, this is when you start dancing with the revelation. When you are hearing me, you rise up. When you start seeing it properly, you can dance and join a group of people dancing. You can come with what's her name? She comes here and dances. You, Helen. but really, there's a time, dear Lord. One time I said, Lord, I mean, the people are singing and dancing, and I'm singing, looking at them. And the Lord said, go there and dance. I said, no, Lord, today, no, 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 no. I can't just do like that. Helen does like that all the time. Me, I can go forward. I said, I'll go next Sunday. Then I forgot until it was Sunday. Then I'm dancing and I go to the front. I said, oh, dear Lord. You know, that dance, you have to do it with the revelation now. Because you are worried about so many things. But dancing, because you know he has carried our griefs. Let's go to verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our... That wounded is he was pierced. He was pierced through. You remember they pierced him with a what? A spear. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised. That is, he was crushed. The NIV has it actually more appropriately captured. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes. The stripes there is blows that cut. Why? Because when they whipped him, that whip, it wasn't just a whip. They pulled it out and pieces of flesh came out. It was blows that cut. Praise the Lord. So in the name of Jesus, say in the name of Jesus, I'm delivered from all sickness, from all disease in Jesus' name. Now you can rejoice with revelation. See, revelation makes you reign. Revelation, with revelation, you reign over sickness and disease. You reign over lack and need. You reign with revelation. Religion ruins you. But revelation, you reign in revelation. Praise the Lord. So you see now, they are singing. They were singing, but Jesus wept. Why did he weep? They did not have revelation. And now, it's the same thing that happens to us. That happens to us. When we cry, sometimes it's because we've not been taught. We don't know that by his stripes we were healed. And so we're asking him to heal us. But he has already healed us. But Francis, my leg is still aching. But do you believe he has healed you? You see where the gap I was talking about, the gap between what we are saying and what we are actually believing and acting on. All right? And I spoke about Revelation. I want, praise God. Let's go to Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. This become one of my favorite scriptures from verse 8. It says, "Now, when you have taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders." When I get to that place, 24 elders, I say, this is the year 2024. Praise the Lord. I see 24 there. I say, woo, year 2024. Glory be to God. I am with those elders. I am among the living creatures. I'm not a dead creature. They fall down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Prayers, remember, prayers are not just adri. Prayers are not religion. Prayers is what is showing up before the 24 elders and the creatures in heaven. Listen, Jesus is still what? King. Now, let's go to verse 9. And read it with me. And they sang a what? A what? A what? Now they are not singing Hosanna, Hosanna. They have a new song today. Glory be to God. You have a new song from this moment. There's a new song that God wants you to sing. And what does that song go? You are worthy to take the scroll and to open a seal. I say, Jesus, you are worthy to show me revelation today. You are worthy to reveal things I need to be doing today. You are worthy to show me whom I should call today. You are worthy. It's a day of revelation. Amen. For you are slain and have, let's read it together, redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation and counties and locations and estates, and I don't care what is your background, you've been redeemed. Glory be to God. I have been redeemed. Hallelujah. It don't matter. It don't matter how I got here, but now I have been redeemed. Me, Francis, have been redeemed. I don't know about you. What's the name of your neighbor? Have they been redeemed? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So you see, instead of sleeping, you wake up. You wake up early, saying, these prayers are hitting heaven straight. Glory be to God. There are people in heaven waiting. Don't be tied to your bed. Be loosed from your bed in Jesus' name. I've heard Pastor David say, you got to say, you bed, you've tied me for too long. I've been sleeping here for 8 hours. It's over. I'm done with you. Now, I'm not saying you do dangerous things, but I'm telling you, you can be. You get loosed. Your prayers. Amen. When are you going to pray? If you're sleeping for 8 hours. Norman, you're sleeping for 8 hours. Where is Mama? We ask her to confirm. How many hours? Does he say, yeah, I've not slept for 8 hours. I'm still aching. That's, you have been tied. You've been tied. Now you've been loosed. To pray, and your prayers come up to heaven, and you have a new song. A new song. Praise the Lord. A new song. A new song of praise. A new song of Jesus is worthy. He is our Redeemer. He has paid the price. I will not be tied again, no more, in the name of Jesus. There is a purpose and a call of my life, and I'm stepping out today in the name of Jesus, and I carry the King, and He is worthy. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. I've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. That's a difference. That's a difference. So you can find somebody up and about and praising God with a new song. Let's go on to verse 10. It says, and have made us, let's read it together, and have made us who? And priests to our God, and we shall reign Oh, praise the Lord. I've been redeemed to reign. I've been redeemed to leadership. I've been redeemed to show people direction. This whole world, so many problems. What are they looking for? A king and a priest who will show them the things of God. A king comes to the people and tells them what God has said. A priest faces God and on behalf of the people. As a generic way of looking at it. That's why you are kings and priests. They face both sides. The king faces the people. He's supposed to tell people how to obey God and what God is saying. The priest faces God on behalf of the people. Now we mix the roles, but we're also kings and priests. So wherever it is, when you show up in your office, you're a king and you're a priest. In at home, you are a king and a priest. It is guarded by what? Your prayer and your worship. Your praise. Your praise. Oh, you know, sometimes in my house, it's, why are you people so quiet? Come on, let's sing. Of course, I'm not such a good singer. I say, you know the song. Why don't you just sing it? My daughters are here with me today again. They say, you didn't mention us properly today. No, no. We sing and sing and worship and pray and praise God. Hallelujah. 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 You are the temple of the living God. Your life should be full of praise and prayer. Praise and prayer. Over and over. Over and over. Let's go to the next verse. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying, let's see it, with, is that a loud voice? All right, let's go with a loud voice. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive, and blessing. Say, that is mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know why he received them? So he can give them to you. He doesn't need them in heaven. You are the one who needs them on this earth. Tell your neighbor, you need these things on this earth. That's why he got them for you. What? What? What did you receive? Power? I should never hear you. Oh no, I'm so powerless. They are so, you know, those things are so powerful. No, the power is with you. Receive what? And give him a shout of praise. Jesus received those things, turned over and said, Professor, this is yours. Daniel, this is yours. Mama, this is yours. Lucy, this is yours. What do you need? What can't they solve in your life? Come on, there is even riches there. You know, you shout loudest when you see riches. But but you need everything in there. Do you need everything in there? Is it available? That's your new song. That's a new song. That's a new song. Hallelujah. That's a new song in your life. You see it and say, I have a new song. This is my new record. I saw Wendy is releasing another song. You say, I also have another song, Wendy. I have a song. It might not have been recorded, but there is another song. Another song of my life. Praise the Lord. Let's go to verse 13. And every creature, let's read it together, which is in heaven and on the earth. Where are you? Okay, that's good. We've located you. You are covered. Glory to God. You are not in heaven. You are not under the earth. All right? And such as are in the sea. Those are the people in the ships. All right? and all that are in them. I heard saying what? Blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Rise up on your feet and give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today, there's a new song. It's a triumphal entry. But now, we know the King has already done it for us. Amen. He has done it for us. We have received power and riches and wisdom and all that we need for this life and godliness. God, by redemption, has made it available for us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, give him a praise. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Father, we are so thankful for the things that you have done. Today we rejoice in our King. We say there is a King in our midst. There is a King within us. There is a King in our families. There is a King in this church. There is a King in our businesses. There is a King in our... We carry the risen Lord. We carry Christ everywhere we go. And we bring a new song. A new song. A new song in our lives, in the name of Jesus. There's a new song. There's a new song in every house represented here. There's a new song. There's a new song in every family, in the name of Jesus. There's a song of redemption. There's a song of deliverance, in the name of Jesus. Whatever people have been facing today, this afternoon, Father, we come with a new song to glorify our King. We are not missing the day of our visitation. Oh, today, oh God, our King, you have visited us. You have confirmed that all these things are ours. We rejoice in your deliverance. We rejoice in what you have done. In the name of Jesus. Say this year, 2024, I join with the 24 elders that my prayers are receiving results and delivering results from heaven. They are confirming my redemption. They are confirming that I receive everything that Jesus has received for me in Jesus' name. Now give him one more shout of praise.